We're here this evening to talk about the tale or tales of Ise, what I don't quite understand what this is all about. A variant on the tales of Ise rewritten for children. All will be revealed shortly. And our speaker this evening is Dr. Laura Moretti. It's very nice to have you here because I think that's the first time we've had the pleasure. But Laura is a lecturer in pre-modern Japanese studies at Cambridge University and a fellow of Emmanuel College. And she specializes in, pre-modern, early modern Japanese literature. She's also one of the main specialists, I suppose, in this country, teaching people how to read the stuff because it's quite squiggly. And it's pretty difficult to read unless you're specifically trained. And so Laura runs workshops and courses to train academics more broadly to be able to read this handwritten or woodblock printed Japanese literature. So I'll hand over to you.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much for your kind introduction. And we'll have the PowerPoint up and try to unravel the mystery around this. So thank you very much for the kind introduction. Thank you very much for taking the time to come tonight. And today we'll talk about the tales of Ise Monogatari. As you may know, it's a classic of Japanese court literature of the Heian period that has enjoyed the status of a canonical text from pretty much the 10th century onwards in Japan and is now widely read in translation around the world. Now, the book Recasting the Past, an early modern Tales of Ise for Children that I recently published with Brill, and today's talk approach the tales of Ise from a non-canonical perspective by exploring an 18th century picture book that adapts the tales of Ise for children. And I shall start my talk by sharing the serendipitous encounter with this material that was lying unresearched in archives. I then will discuss briefly the tales of Ise with a focus on the early modern reception of this tale, to then move on to an introduction of the adaptation in question. And the talk will focus mainly on the intertextual strategies employed in the process of adaptation and on the nature of this picture book as a piece of children's literature. And I shall conclude by briefly describing how I conceived the book Recasting the Past and what the potential I see in it is. So this research project began thanks to really a fortuitous encounter made on a drizzly spring afternoon, as normally is in this country, in 2012 at the British Library. I accompanied a group of Cambridge students for a private viewing of early modern Japanese books, and my aim was to introduce them to the wide array of printed materials produced in the Edo period and produced for a commercial market. When I talk about early modern Japan today, I refer to the period between the 17th century and the end of the 19th century, and I will call it early modern Japan or Edo period, but obviously you can also refer to it as Tokugawa period. Now, my preparations for that visit at the British Library included looking at examples of the popular literary genre known by the name of kusazoshi. They are cheap illustrated, they're cheap picture books produced pretty much between the second half of the 17th century, very much into the Meiji period. I was immediately drawn to a volume that bound together half a dozen kusazoshi, which were originally part of the collection of the scholar-diplomat Sir Ernest Satow. And going through that bound volume, I encountered this picture book. As you can see, I went through about five double pages spread, and I was immediately interested in this illustration. As you can see here, we have what, for anyone working on early modern, pre-modern literature and visual culture, what is an iconic picture. This is actually a specific trope that triggers the connection with the tales of Issei. We have a man with a who is transporting the woman on his shoulder. He's looking behind him as if to check out whether he has been followed. And this actually is a connection with the sixth section of the tales of Issei, and it is so iconic that it has been used over the centuries. Used by Tawaraso Tatsu for an album leaf produced in the first half of the 17th century. This is also, by the way, the cover of the most recent English translation of the Tales of Issei. It was used for the cover of one of the manga versions of the Tales of Issei in 1994. It was also used as the cover by Shimizu Yoshinori in one of his very sophisticated parodies of classics, Issei Monogatari, published in 1991. So you can imagine how a nerd of early modern literature like me got absolutely excited at finding that picture. In particular, because I had been working at that point for quite some years on the reception history of the tales of Issei. So what I do, I go back to the cover and I try to check the title slip, which is, as normally happens in early modern books, on the left side of the cover. And the title read, Issei Furyu Utagarta no Hajimari, which I translated as The Fashionable Issei, The Origins of Utagarta. And when I saw this title, a series of questions popped up in my mind. So is this picture book one of a number of texts that played intertextually with the tales of Issei? And if that is the case, why didn't I find any reference to this picture book during my earlier work on the reconstruction of the reception history of the Tales of Issei? With these and other questions in mind, I glanced at the preface on the recto of the first folio. I will be honest with you, prefaces in early modern books often shed very little light on the book itself. Yet, luckily enough, this occasion proved differently. And I would like to read the preface with you today. And I quote, "The Issei Monogatari, the Tales of Issei, has been titled as such, with the two characters I and Se connoting man and woman respectively and meaning couple, because the tale of Narihira going to Issei as the imperial huntsman and exchanging love vows with the Issei shrine priestess is a truly intriguing story. This book, Utagarta no Hajimari, skillfully deals with Narihira writing about himself as the man of the past, Mukashi Otoko Arikeri, and as if he were a different person. It also adeptly handles the essence of the poems included in the Tales of Issei, as well as its poetic language, by rendering it all in a contemporary style, imayo, so that children can quickly grasp everything. With this in mind, we have requested drawings from the Torii School of Artists. We have called the book Utagarta no Hajimari, The Origins of Matching the First Part of a Poem with the Second Part, which refers to the poetic exchanges that serve as intermediaries in the love affairs of the men of the past." End quote. So in a nutshell, this preface tells us that Utagarta no Hajimari updates and repackages the Tales of Issei in such a way that it becomes an easy reading for children. It also tells us that this tale should be considered a story about love, and that poetry inserted in it works as an effective medium to enhance love between a man and a woman. So hoping to unearth more, I went through the other books in the stack at the British Library, but sadly, the British Library only has one volume of what would have been a set of two or three. At that point, my curiosity was piqued, and I was determined to find out more, and the result of the research journey that I undertook is the publication that I'm introducing to you today. Now, I'm sure that many of you in the audience are very familiar with the Tales of Issei, and I ask for your patience while I give some information to some of those of you who might not have had the pleasure to read this work yet. I will also provide you with some details about the reception history of the Tales of Issei in the Edo period, which I hope is something fresh for the majority of you. The Tales of Ise is normally described in history of Japanese literature as a fine example of uta monogatari. It is to say a work that combines a tale narrated in prose, monogatari, with waka poems in 31 syllables, waka, and more specifically it does so in such a way that the prose is there to contextualize the poems. The date of composition is very much a matter of debate, though we certainly go back to the late 9th century, beginning of the 10th century. And the text went through different stages of composition, and what we read today is actually based on a much later manuscript, the so-called Tenpuku manuscript, collected, edited by the scholar and poet Fujiwara no Teika in 1234. It looks like this. We have a facsimile published already in 1963 by Musashi no Shoin. Now, you can find a great deal of details about the composition of the Tales of Ise in English in the preface to the English translation published by Joshua Mostow and Royal Tyler. It's very very good in terms of introducing the history of the Tales of Ise. Now, as we read it today, the Tales of Ise is composed of 125 pretty much independent episodes that are all connected by the presence of the same protagonist, the court poet Ariwara no Narihira. And the focus of the tale is on Narihira's amorous encounters with women within and outside the capital, subtly depicting the tension between the refinement of the capital and the rustic nature of the countryside. Now, the Tales of Ise did not wait long before becoming a canonical text that displays a complex and fascinating reception history. First, the tale circulated in a variety of illustrated hand scrolls as early as the mid-12th century, as an exhaustive survey conducted by the Research Center on Japanese Culture at Hagoromo University has shown. Starting from the beginning of the 17th century, the Tales of Ise was also put into print. And the first printed text is the elegant movable type edition known as the Sagabon that you can admire here in the copy housed at the Cambridge University Library. You can appreciate that the text is interspersed by illustrations. In 1629, the text is printed anew by using the woodblock medium. And from that date on, a plethora of editions were produced to be sold on the commercial book market. And in 2011, Yamamoto Tokuro has edited an extremely useful volume that collects all facsimiles of the major printed editions known to date. In the meanwhile, commentaries were also produced. They combine explanations of the poems and of specific words together with details about the biography of Narihira and the other protagonists of the tale. Now, interestingly enough, a handful of medieval commentaries studied by Susan Klein began to interpret the Tales of Ise as an esoteric text linked to Shingon Buddhism. And they began to see in the protagonist Narihira somebody born in Japan with a specific remit to guide human beings through the age of the degeneration of the Buddhist law by teaching enlightenment via sex. As you can imagine, at this point, the Tales of Ise and Narihira slowly began to be deeply connected to an erotic sphere. The tradition of commentaries continues to thrive in early modern times. And you can find here an example of a commentary that was published much later in 1680. Now, we have a copy here, so I'll pass it around. And you will appreciate that while the printed editions of the Tales of Ise combine text and illustrations, here we have a rather dry page layout full of text that probably appealed to those who wanted to study the Tales of Ise, of scholars of the Tales of Ise. Now, the Tales of Ise was depicted in early modern educational materials as a must reading for both men and women. And because of that, it became part of the canon of Japanese literature as soon as the Edo period. Now, because of this canonical status, we have, as soon as the beginning of the Edo period, a series of rewritings that can be placed between two poles On the one hand, we have translations in modern Japanese at the time of the Tales of Ise. At the other extreme, we find minimal parodies of the text. And in between, we find many variations, many different adaptations. And all these adaptations recast the past in such a way that it fits the contemporary society. And this process shows the desire to reappropriate the source text in such a way that it becomes understandable to an early modern reader with limited literacy, and that it appears in tune with the new cultural world of the Edo period Japan. When we teach Ise Monogatari to our students, they find it quite alien. And probably the Japanese in the room would agree